Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Snowbound, Boulder, Colorado. I'm George Thomas. We're on the line with U.S. ski team downhiller Tommy Biesmeyer. Tommy, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to be here, George.
Now, Tommy, downhill. I mean, I've always thought of that as the glamour event of winter sports. What got you into skiing and then got you into thinking you could compete in that event?
I mean, downhill, I mean, ski racing was just sort of an outlet for me. I was really competitive as a kid, and I grew up in a small town that's considered out there in Keene Valley, New York. And I was just eager to play sport, and ski racing was an outlet for it. And as a young kid, I was ski jumping, cross-country skiing, and alpine ski racing. And it turned out, just by luck of the draw, that ski racing was a good fit for me, and I sort of weaned out all the other sports I was playing and focused on it. And as I got older and started to progress in the sport, I turned out to have success, and I started to take it more seriously each year. And I'd never really had my sights set on the U.S. ski team other than it just being a dream until I was about 18 or 19. And then that's when I realized that it was a potential goal, and I had a legitimate shot to make it. So it wasn't, I felt like I was sort of a late bloomer in the sense of like realizing the U.S. ski team was an actual goal opposed to just a dream.
But how cool is that, you know, you're one of those people who actually had a dream come true. When did you realize that was going to happen?
I would say I was given an opportunity to train with the U.S. development team when I was 19 years old. And I had some really good races in the summer where I went from 350th in the world to 50th. And that changed sort of my whole outlook on my plan with ski racing. And I was, at the time, I was supposed to be going to EVM to ski in college. And I decided to defer and continue on with the ski team as an invitee and just see where it took me. And I had a good season that year, and I've been on it for the last 6 years.
So University of Vermont, what were you studying?
I'm in the business school at UVM with a concentration in finance.
And are you still going to school?
I still am. I have 4 years of schooling and 2 years done. So, if I stay on a consistent path here, I'll be done in 4 years.
So what are your plans? I mean, that's really interesting to hear too, that are you planning a career after your skiing?
Yeah, of course. I mean, ski racing isn't the most sustainable sport. So there is going to be a life afterwards, and I'm not entirely sure what that entails, but I feel like my parents have created a pretty good footing where we grew up, and I definitely have that as an outlook and something to look forward to, but I'm not ruling out something different and something that's not in Keene Valley, New York. So right now my dad has a construction business along with a lodge called the Mountain House, and where we do weddings. And right now we have a partnership with Hamilton College where they're doing an environmental studies program. So it's more of, it's just a building where we just have people come and go, and it's been in operation since 1941.
You're listening to Snowbound. We're visiting with Tommy Biesmeyer of the U.S. ski team. So you were in slalom when you first were noticed by the ski team. What was it that made you switch over to downhill?
I would say I have more of a focus in super G, and downhill is just a benefactor of that. I made the ski team with in my giant slalom and super G, and I think I just showed a lot of promise when I first made a team. And so I was sort of just directed in that direction. And it's where I fit with the team socially and physically, in the sense of my skiing was on par with the speed team. And I showed a lot of potential. And I think that that was something that they saw me succeeding at. And I think my heart and my passion was as well.
Is the speed fun?
The speed's fun, but it takes getting used to, and it's not that much fun when you have three knee surgeries, but it's very rewarding, and it's high risk, but it's something that you miss when it's taken away from you.
Can you tell us about your injuries, how they happened?
Yeah, when I first made ski team, so after the year that I was skiing as an invitee, when I was officially on the team, I tore my ACL in our summer training program. And I missed that season, so that was my right knee. And then going into the Olympics, I tore my left knee, and I had problems with it coming back from injury, so I had to get another surgery. So it's been a two-year injury this past one. For 2013 year and 2014 year.
So where are you mentally with coming back? I mean, that's a long rehab. You've shown a lot of fortuitiveness by sticking with it. Where are you mentally?
Excited, anxious, and happy to be back. I mean, it's been a lot of hard work. It's been a lot of patience. Been a lot of hard days, but all the time that I have put in off the hill has sort of got me to where I am now. And either it was good or bad, it was always moving forward. And I think that for me coming back, that was something that I needed as well, to always feel like you're gaining, and even if it's not the biggest gains, but if you're even just moving forward and at the smallest amount, that you're showing progress and you're showing, proving to yourself that you're going to make it back. And right now, looking forward, it's just sort of taking every day for what it is. And if I'm frustrated, I just have to remember that I've been working just to be back skiing, and that was the biggest battle. So just to be here and just being a part of it has been my main goal. And so now moving forward, it's just gaining the speed, gaining the confidence, and just getting into the groove of it. You know, skiing is, yes, it's a rhythm. And once you sort of get into a rhythm of ski racing, things start to happen and things come easier. So that's where I'm at now. It's just building a rhythm and moving forward.
Now, were you at the speed camp at Copper Mountain?
I was.
How did that go?
It went well. It was my first real camp back engaged and back with everybody again. And that's always sort of nerve-wracking when you're coming back from injury, because of your timing and the season is right around the corner and everybody's just gunning and, you know, you're trying to catch up. So it can be frustrating, and it was frustrating at times, but at the same time rewarding just to be there and just be in the hunt and just proving to yourself that you haven't lost it, you know. And that's, you know, sort of every day you go out there and you're just trying to be fast and trying to ski well, and you're competing again. And that's ultimately what I've been looking forward to.
Now, you said right at the beginning that you were a very competitive person. When you were going through rehab, did you almost look at that as a competition against yourself?
Yeah, you know, everyone sort of tells you what you can and can't do. And for me anyway, I immediately highlight the things that I'm not supposed to be doing or shouldn't be doing, or where if I was doing really well, this is where you'd be at. And so you sort of treat it as a game, and you create little goals for yourself that to sort of beat it, you know, beat the injury. And that's sort of what got me through it. And it's sort of my outlet to be competitive as well. And so being injury has its negative components, but at the same time, you can use your attributes as an athlete to get through it.
Now, coming out of the speed camp, how are you feeling about your skiing?
I feel great. I feel like if there's anything that I need to consider, is to sort of not overdo it and just realize that I'm still coming back and keep the volume at a consistent pace and not get frustrated if you have a bad day and try to pound out more runs, and just stick on, to stay patient and stick to the plan and stay healthy. And I think that success will soon be on the horizon.
Have you felt a lot of support from the U.S. ski team throughout?
Yeah, the ski team has been really great. They designated a coach for Ryan Carpenter-Siegel, myself, and we were joined with Racy Siegler this year, where all of us were coming back from knee injuries, and we had a little team set up that was designated for us. And so we were able to go at our own pace without having to work in with the group coming back from injury right away. And that's always a struggle as well, just from my previous experiences, that when you come back to the group, you know, you just sort of try to get right back into it. And you don't want to be the black sheep. You don't want to be the guy that's missing runs because your knee hurts or you're not ready to do it, and skiing with your jacket on, and just the little things that you do coming back from injury that are hard to understand by the group. And so this team that we had was really great for myself, and I know it was really positive for Racy and Ryan to be able to just sort of get through the small mental battles with an injury without being criticized or judged.
I know it's kind of a cliche to say coming back from an injury makes you stronger, but there is some truth to that. What do you feel you've learned from this experience that will make you a better racer?
I think not just a better racer, but just sort of a better person. And that also sounds cliche, but you learn to fight. And I think that's a really valuable asset to have. And, you know, I was dealt a bad hand, and, you know, you sort of play it out and grind through it and make the best of it and just be patient. So I think this whole process has made me more patient. It's sort of have a different outlook on ski racing in general, on just life, and just sort of not taking yourself too seriously, I think, is also a really important asset that I've learned as well. It's just, you know, it could be worse, and it's not that bad. So I'm just sort of happy to just keep getting better and stay healthy. And I was grateful to go to school and do my rehab and also be working towards a degree that hopefully I'll be using after my ski career is done.
Birds of Prey coming up this weekend. How are you feeling about it? When do you get to see the course?
We will start on Wednesday. We have our first training run in downhill, where I will not be doing the downhill race, but I'll be doing the training runs to prepare for the Super G on Saturday. And that will be my first World Cup race back. And I look forward to it. It's one of my favorite tracks, and I think I have a good shot to have a good day. And my friends and family will be there as well, so it'll be fun to have them in my corner that day.
Tommy Biesmeyer, I think we're all going to be cheering for you.
Thank you.
Wish you all the best at the upcoming Birds of Prey on Snowbound. You've been listening to Tommy Biesmeyer in Boulder, Colorado. I'm George Thomas.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.